So good that you are with us today. I'm excited about this. Each sermon comes out a little different. You never know till you get here to this point what it's going to be like, what God's going to do. I'm even surprised by that. It's not I'm the guy doing it, but it still amazes me how much God speaks to me through these sermons and speaks to those of you in this room. But I believe that's the purpose of this. I believe that's why we're here, is to allow God to speak to us. And today is no different. As a dad, as putting this sermon together, I kept looking to myself. I'm going to tell on myself a lot today with examples. But this family series that we're concluding today, we've been doing this since Mother's Day. And we've got to cover every area of the family. We talked to the moms first. The opening of this family series, we talked about our children and how to parent. We talked about relationships. Thanks to those who were on the panel a few weeks ago, that was so beneficial, and I heard lots of positive from that, even though we went incredibly long on that. But and today we're going to conclude by just talking to dads. Now, when it comes to relationships, a lot of them are based solely on, if you do this for me, then I'll do this for you. Even when it comes to friendships, you don't want to think of it that way. But really, to have a friend, you like that person because they give something back. They encourage you, that you enjoy spending time with them, they make you laugh. Whatever it is in that agreement or that friendship, there's something you're getting in return. But there's something wrong when all of your life is based on relationships that are contractual. Love is not contractual. It's not a contractual agreement. Fatherhood is not a contractual agreement. We love our children unconditionally. We're not expecting. We get lots back. Every guy can say amen to that. We get a lot back from our children, but we do not do it for that reason. We do it because we unconditionally love them. And who better to have as an example than our Heavenly Father, who unconditionally loves us. No matter what we give back, He's going to love us anyway. And that is the best example we could have. As a father, we're the head of the home. That means we are the protector, the provider, the leader. And we do this, once again, not for something in return, but because it is our role. But when we think of those responsibilities as protector and provider, there's a time where we have to look at that and we must be strong. That's one of the things that we think of with Dad, is he's strong. If anything needs moved in the house, who do we call? We call Dad, because he can lift anything. He's not scared of anything. If you see a spider, a snake, whatever it is, you call Dad. Because most of the time, at least in our house, Mom's going to go the other way when it comes to spiders and snakes. So, not throwing you under the bus, that's just how it is. But Dad's supposed to be strong. But the hard part then, with dads, is because we have this idea of strength and how we are supposed to appear strong and courageous, we have a hard time admitting to weakness. But here's the cool thing about that. Our example of a father, our Heavenly Father, when we look to Him in our weakness, He makes us strong. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says this, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness." Think about that. It's hard for us to admit it sometimes. So the title of my sermon today is a little silly, but I'm going to call it Strengthness. And basically it's learning that my weakness is made strong. I can find strength in that when I allow God to step in, when I allow Him to intervene in the moments when I'm weak. Today, I have a great example for you out of the Bible. His name is Samson. He was the strongest man ever known. Incredibly strong, given to him by God. That strength that he had came from God. But he also had some pretty incredible weaknesses. And we're going to learn from the life of Samson. His accomplishments were legendary. But once again, so are his weaknesses. And I think as dads, sometimes we can relate to this, that Samson had so much God-given potential yet the bad decisions caused him to self-destruct. If I were to sum his life up in one statement, it would be this. Samson was incredibly strong with a dangerously weak will. Now you can read this entire story of Samson in Judges chapter 13 through 16. And I want to look in 14 today. So turn in your Bibles to Judges chapter 14. But I would encourage you to go home and read this entire story. It's four chapters. It's 13, 14, 15, and 16. Very simple to read. And I want to show you some attitudes that Samson had that got him into trouble. Honestly, I love movies, and I know, guys, we like our guy movies. To me, there's only two kinds of movies. There's chick flicks and good movies. And this would be a good movie, okay? This would be an incredible movie because there's lots of action in it. There's killing. There's armies battling. Samson's taking out men with a jawbone of a donkey. I mean, the dude, like, he knew how to kill. I mean, that's just, to be honest with you. But at the same time, there was drama and romance and all of that involved as well. So it'd make a great movie, and we're going to see some of that today. But an angel of the Lord, just to kind of give you some context of where we're at, the Israelites had been unfaithful to God. Okay, we talked about the Israelites last week, and they had been unfaithful to God, so God put them under the rule of their enemy. Their enemy was the Philistines. And for years and years, they were under the rule of the Philistines. But finally, God felt like they'd had enough, and he said, I'm going to raise up a man who will help start to deliver you from bondage. And Samson was that man. So an angel of the Lord appeared to a couple who were unable to have children. And this angel said, you're going to have a child. It'll be Samson. And from the beginning of his life, the Spirit of the Lord stirred within him. The angel said, you and your family are to live under what's known as the Nazarite vows. The Nazarite vows were this. Essentially, it was a way for a non-priest, just a common person, if they would live by these vows, they would be set apart to be used of God. All they had to do was live by these vows. A non-priest, just a common person, could live under these vows and be set apart for the service of God. So that was Samson. That's how he began his life. Now, what were these Nazarite vows? There were three of them. Number one, you were to not get drunk. That was the first one. The second one was you were not to touch anything dead or unclean. You were to stay away from anything dead or unclean. And finally, the last one was you were not to cut your hair. So those are the three things Samson had to live by. If I could help you picture Samson. Now, sometimes it's hard. We're in the Bible, especially the Old Testament. It's really hard to get a picture of what was going on. I want you to picture, like, Billy Ray Cyrus back in the day of Achy Breaky Heart. Anybody remember that long mullet that he had? Billy Ray Cyrus. You know what I'm talking about? He had the real long hair. And don't tell my heart. If you can picture that dude, that's kind of what I picture for Samson. Maybe it helps you. I don't know. But that's my picture for Samson. You could be a flock of seagulls. It could be a fro. I don't know. Whatever you want to think, but he couldn't cut his hair. Let's put it that way. All right? But this hair thing, the reason he couldn't cut his hair, it was an outward, just like baptism is for us, okay? It was an outward, visible testimony, a sign of an inward spiritual truth. Just like my wedding ring is an outward sign that I'm committed to Courtney. This long hair was an outward and visible sign that he was set apart for God. God's hand was on him. His strength was in him. So much so, like I said earlier, he could kill thousands of men. He had the strength like none other. And yet, with all of that God-given potential, he was weak. And those weaknesses are what brought him down. So, on the back of your bulletin, I've given you a few things that you can look at with me. These are the attitudes that Samson had that make strong men weak. We're going to cover both. We're going to talk about what makes a strong man weak. Then we're going to talk about what makes weak men strong. But with Samson, the first one that made him weak was lust. What is lust? It's when a man sees something that he desires. And what do we say when we say something we desire? I'm not just talking about women, okay? But what do we see when we see something we desire? We say, I want it, I got to have it, and I'll do anything to get it. Now, I'm not going to get a lot of amens on that, I know. But I know, because I'm telling on myself, when I want something, I want it, I got to have it, and I'll do what it takes to get it. That might be, for some people, it can be. Lust can be a woman. But it could be advancement in a career. It could be money. It could be conquering something like, I want to be fit. I want to be healthy. And we will do whatever it takes. If it's getting up every morning at 5 a.m. and running on the treadmill or working out, lifting weights, whatever it takes, we'll do it because we want it and we're going to find a way to get it. Whatever it may be. And we'll forget all logic in order to get it. So let's look at Samson's life and what he did and how he wanted something. Judges chapter 14, verse 1. Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. So he went up and told his father and mother, saying, I've seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, go get her for me as a wife. Then his father and mother said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren and are among all the people here? Okay, let me stop for a minute. This is the New King James I'm reading. The NIV actually says, isn't there an acceptable woman among your relatives or among all the people? First of all, I don't want to get distracted on the relatives idea. That's kind of creepy. But they're saying, isn't there an acceptable woman? In other words, this woman was not acceptable. This was not someone he should have been wanting to marry. One of the Nazarite vows was to not intermarry with those who didn't believe in God and who didn't serve God. And he's already breaking that because this is a Philistine woman. But he saw something and he wanted it. So look on as we're reading, that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines. And Samson said to his father, look at this line, get her for me, for she pleases me well. It didn't matter who it was. He saw something, he wanted it, and he was going to do whatever it took to get it. He left his own hometown, left his friends, in order to go to Timnah, which was where his enemies were at. He left his friends, went to his enemies, and he, in that moment, said, I see something I want. I don't care what God says. I don't care what Dad says. I don't care what Mom says. I don't care what's right. I don't care what's wise. I see that, and I want it. And that brings me to number two. Number two, we get an entitlement mentality, and we say, I deserve it. Not only do I want it, but I deserve it. I work hard. I deserve it. I've been slaving away day after day, whatever it may be. It could be a new bow. It could be time to hunt. It could be time to go golfing. Whatever it may be, we get in our minds, I do this in order to deserve that. And we get an entitlement mentality. Let's see what Samson did in verse 5. He went down to Timnah with his father and mother and came to the vineyards of Timnah. Now to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat. Now, I know all men can relate to that because we all go around tearing apart goats, right? So we totally get this. So I can know exactly what he was doing. No, I don't even know where that comes from, but all I know is he had some strength to take on a lion with his bare hands and rip it apart. Can you imagine the strength involved? It says, though he had nothing in his hand. He didn't tell his father or mother what he had done. Verse 7, he went down and talked with the woman. She pleased Samson well. And after some time, he returned to get her. This is where he got himself in trouble again. He turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. What were the rules? Don't get drunk. Don't touch anything dead. Don't cut your hair. Those were the Nazarite vows. But he killed this lion. He deserved to look at it. He deserved to see what was in it. So what happens? Behold, a swarm of bees and honey were in the carcass of the lion. So he took some of it in his hands and went along eating it. First of all, that's just nasty. How gross. Do you ever smell a dead carcass? It's disgusting. Who in the world would want to eat honey out of a dead carcass? But to be honest with you guys, we're nasty. We're just gross. Am I lying? I got an amen somewhere out of that. We're gross. Let me prove to you how I know we're gross. You're going to think this is the most disgusting thing, but I think guys will know what I'm talking about. Guys, maybe not in the last year or two, but in your lifetime, I'm going to let you just think about this for a minute. In your lifetime, if you ever found a pair of underwear on the floor and you wondered if they were clean or dirty, what would you do? Don't answer. Don't answer. No, we don't want to go there. Don't answer. We're gross. Even worse, you don't have to answer that. What would you do if you found out they were dirty? You'd just turn them wrong side out and put them on anyway. I know. You know what I'm talking about. I won't get any amens on that, but we're gross. That's just who we are. If you don't believe me, just ask that woman next to you and she'll say amen to that. So, anyway, he felt entitled to what he had killed. He felt entitled to look at it, to reap the benefits of that honey. He said, you know what? I killed it. I should be able to get some. Understand something here, fathers. I need to talk to you for just a minute. The moment that that child is born, you become a father, and from that moment on, you are a father. Now you're going, wow, that's deep. Here's the thing. We tend to, when we find something we want, that we have to have, that maybe even we feel like we deserve, we will do whatever it takes to get it. Not realizing that the decisions I make don't just affect me anymore. It now affects everyone who is in my care. It affects everyone who I now am a father to. And how many times do men get themselves in trouble based on decisions made in a moment of saying, you know what, I deserve it. I work hard. I can go out with my friends. I can go do what I want on Friday night. Not realizing that every decision you make affects those who are underneath you. Finally, the third one. I can handle it. Every man in the world likes to say, I can handle it. It sounds good. Unfortunately, it can get us into trouble. Pride is the thing that says, I can handle it. The lust is what says, I want it. Entitlement says, I deserve it. And then there's the pride that steps in and says, yes, other men have fallen because of that, but not me. I can handle it. I can do this. I can do it on my own. Look at what happens in Judges 14:10. Now, Samson has found this woman and he wants to marry her, even though his parents have told him it's not right. Even though he knows it's not right, he's entitled to this woman. And it says, his father went down to the woman, and Samson gave a feast there, for young men used to do so. What this was a customary feast that the bridegroom would give before marriage. And here's Samson. Basically, what he's doing is throwing himself a keg party. Because the Hebrew word for feast is mishtah. It means an occasion for drinking. Samson found himself a reason to hang out with the guys and get drunk before he starts this life with this woman. Why? Because he's entitled. He deserves it. God has given many men great potential to do works and bring glory to his name. And yet, the idea that I'm strong, I want it, I deserve it, and I can handle it, gets us in trouble. Here's the thing. From here on out, I don't even have time. I'm running out of time. So I'm going to just paraphrase for you. But things get worse. This is when a movie, if this were a movie, it would get really good. Because the story just continues with him flirting with the enemy. With him finding himself wanting things he didn't really need. He didn't really need to have or shouldn't have. And he found himself in trouble to the point where he winds up with his eyes gouged out, bound with his own prized hair that he had grown out. In front of 3,000 of his own enemies, he's in the Colosseum where they're laughing at him and mocking him. He got himself. Here's the thing. The enemy didn't defeat him. That's the thing I want you to understand. We could look at that and go, well, they just outsmarted him. If you read the story, the enemy did not defeat Samson. He took himself down with his bad decisions. Through lust, entitlement, and pride. But here's the deal. This is the good news today. Is we don't have to be Samson. We're not Samson. And we don't have to throw our life away like that. If we are a follower of Christ, I want you to know there is spiritual greatness within you. And that God's power, no matter what you've done before, no matter where you've been, can transform you. You can be new and you can be different. Here's the thing. You can be a man of courage. You can be a man with spiritual strength. You can be a godly father and a godly husband. And I need some amens on that. Amen. The point is, don't try it in your own strength. Find that when you're the weakest, God will make you strong. You know what those weaknesses are. As I'm talking to you right now, I just named three simple things. There's probably more, but through lust, entitlement, and pride, something is speaking to you right now. The Holy Spirit is what that is. And as He's speaking to you, when you recognize to say, you know what, I am weak in that area, God can make you strong. That's the good news today. We serve a God who, when a man will be willing to say, I'm weak, I'm vulnerable, I need your strength, I need your presence, God specializes in making weak men strong. Which is going to bring me to the next three attitudes that we can have that make weak men strong. Here's the reason we need this. Fathers, I need you to hear this. You are the head of the home. You are that leader. And what does the enemy want to do? In any battle you've ever seen, when two armies are going against one another, the best thing that the enemy can do is take out the leader because it weakens the army. It's exactly what Satan wants to do in our homes. He wants to take out the leader so that it can weaken the home. Now tell me if this isn't true for most guys. When we find something we like, we don't just go in, we go all in. If it's a motorcycle, we don't just want the motorcycle. We got to have the right saddlebags. We got to have the right exhaust. We got to have the right grips, the right, oh man, I can go on and on, windshields, whatever it may be. When we find the right gun, we don't just want the gun. We got to have the right holster that's going to fit perfect. We got to have the right ammo that's going to shoot the best so it's the most accurate. If it's a rifle, I'm not talking just about myself. I've got a dad, a father-in-law in the place today. I've got a brother. I know all of these people. I've got friends that are in this room right now. I'm not just talking about me. But when we find something we want, if it's a rifle, we've got to have a scope. We've got to have the right trigger. When I was picking up the gift certificate this week at Roger's shop, Mitch showed me a silencer that goes on the end of rifles. You talk about cool. That you can shoot an animal and he doesn't even know where it came from. How cool is that? I mean, it's just like, and it's done. Can you imagine how awesome that is? I got to have one of those. I don't know when. Maybe not right now. But how cool. But when we get into something, we go all in. There's no turning back. So these are the attitudes I want to encourage you on that make weak men strong. Instead of saying, I want it, how about saying, I want God. Not just some of God, but all of God. I want His daily power. I want His Word living in my spirit. I want His strength. I want Him ordering my steps. I want His Spirit convicting me when I sin. I want Him correcting me and leading me in righteousness. I want His voice directing me. I want God. I don't just want part of it. I want all of it. That was a weak amen. I want all of it. I want all of God. I want all that He has to give me. Instead of entitlement, instead of saying, I deserve it, how about recognizing that we deserve death? This isn't just for men in the room. Every one of us in this room deserve death. Every one of us have sinned, and it says the wages of sin is death. That which we deserve for our sinfulness against a holy God is death. We don't deserve anything. But aren't you glad that God doesn't see it that way? We deserve death, but we don't get it. He wants us to have everything. And when we realize that we're dead in our transgressions and in our sins, God chose that while we were still sinners, He sent His Son to die for each one of us. Suddenly, we're not deserving. We're humble before God, and we say, I don't have to serve you. I want to serve you. I don't want to just be in. I want to be all in. I want everything that God has for me. I need God. I deserve death. And finally, I can't handle anything without God. That is the attitude we must have. I can't handle anything without God. I said it earlier, the enemy didn't take Samson down. He took himself down. And I don't know about you, but I'm capable of anything ungodly without the presence of God in my life. I said I'm capable of anything ungodly without His presence in my life. Some of you are locked in a very lonely prison today, and you need to be weak enough to ask for help. You need to be weak enough to confess your sins, weak enough to stand before someone and say, I need prayer. I need help. I need direction. Now, in the church world, we tend to think of Mother's and Father's Day like this. We think of Mother's Day as the day where we prop the ladies up. Women are, the mothers are so good. They just love the kids and they do all the right things and they just love me and they hug on me. And we praise women. And then when we get to Father's Day, we beat them up and we say, you're bad and you don't do this right. You don't do this right. That's what we do in the church world. But here is what I understand about this and why I like this sermon today. Because as guys, we're just guys. I think in sports terms. And here's what I think about. When I was playing sports and our team was not playing up to its full potential, man, our coach would get right up in our grill and he would begin to tell us, you are not playing to your full potential. You're not doing what you should be doing. You can do more. You can give me more. And he would begin to encourage them. And as he does that, the team gets fired up. And before long, we're playing better. We're doing better because he encouraged us. And that's what I want to encourage you with today. It's not that you're bad. I'm not trying to beat you up. But I'm telling you, you have spiritual greatness inside you, and you can be a father greater than you are right now, even if you're a good dad. You can be a greater dad as you allow Christ to step in those places where you are weak, you become strong. Amen. There's spiritual greatness in Tyler. There's spiritual greatness in Andrew. There's spiritual greatness in Michael and in Carrie and in Jeremy. I believe it. And it's all about us taking our attitude and saying, God, where I'm weak, you make me strong. Where I'm weak, I'm willing to step in. Ephesians 6:10 says this, finally, be strong in the Lord. Don't be strong in yourself. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. The one thing that will make you strong is finding those weaknesses and allowing God to make you strong. Now I want to tell you a story as we end this today. It's out of Ezekiel. And it's chapter 2, verse 30. And God is actually speaking here. And I want you to see what happens. He says, I looked for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so I would not have to destroy it. Look at what happens. God said, I looked for such a man but found none. How sad that he couldn't find anybody willing to step in the gap. And perhaps if he were here today saying that same verse, it would sound like this. I'm looking for a man with integrity. I'm looking for a man with courage. I'm looking for a man who will be a father to his children. A man who will lay down his life for his bride as Christ serves the church. I'm looking for a man who will impart spiritual truth into the next generation. And here's the thing, I believe with all my heart, I'm telling you this, I believe that if God were here today looking for that man, He would not walk away saying, I found none. I believe there are men in this room who are willing to be courageous, who are willing to be spiritual leaders, willing and able and already being the father they need to be. Men of integrity, men of courage. So I'm going to ask, fathers, will you stand to your feet? Holy Spirit, right now, have your way in each one of us. God, I thank you for every father standing here today. Thank you for the greatness that you implanted in me. God, thank you for the generation that will be changed because of these men. And Lord, of myself standing here praying this today, we ask for your help. We ask for your strength. That you would use us to be men who will lead our homes. God, that you would use us to be men to lead our children. Led by you. May we put away the I want it attitude. The I deserve it attitude. The I can handle it attitude. God, may we just want more of you. As we want more of you, God, it will trickle down into every part of our family. It will trickle down into this church. Every person could be changed because we decide, I want God in my life. I don't want some of God. I want all of God in my life. Lord, we deserve death, but thankfully, we don't have to have it. You give us a life. And Heavenly Father, help us to understand that without you we can do nothing, but with you we can do everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do you believe that today? Come on. Do you believe that? Church, we serve a great God. And I don't know who you are in this room, but if you need prayer, Dad, if you need encouragement today, I would love to pray with you as we walk out of this place. You've got a beautiful day to go enjoy with your family today. So I encourage you to do so. Have a great day. But if you need prayer, I'm standing here today and I'd love to pray with you. And I love you and God bless you throughout this week. Amen.